Okay, Senator, you want to take it away?
Sure.
I already did the language about a work session.
Oh, great. Wow, yeah. This is so easy. Thank you very much, Representative McCrate. So we will move into the work session on LD 332, the commercial fishing practices dragging Frenchboro Cable area. And that's an act to reevaluate the Frenchboro area dragging exclusion zone. And this work session is open now, and committee members.
Senator, can I just mention, I think we have the Marine Patrol, Colonel Carroll, if we would like to hear from him, and we have the commissioner, and of course we have the sponsor.
Yeah, we've heard enough from the commissioner, but the Marine Patrol. I'm going to hear you all afternoon too. Jeez. Okay, we have Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission this afternoon for stripers. Okay, so great. Everybody was just slow. I'll slow down. Who would like to go first? I see Representative Bloom has a hand up. Go ahead, Representative Bloom.
Thank you. I wanted to get back to on this bill. It seems to me we're asking the commissioner to do something, and the result of which is really whatever the commissioner decides it to be. I mean, we're not instructing him to do anything other than assess what, you know, if there's a reason to reassess all of that. We don't want it to cost money, right? I think that was the other thing. And then at some point, the commissioner had said that there was some kind of compromise or something. And I was wondering if the commissioner had something to say about that, about what you thought about this bill, and seeing if we could do something that would speak to the bill's purpose.
Thank you, Representative Bloom. And I think specifically to that, well, certainly the commissioner has some ideas, yeah, but
Senator Merriman, I'm sorry, Senator Merriman. Didn't mean to interrupt, but I do have Colonel Carroll on. I know the good senator would like me to limit my conversation. So I'm going to ask the colonel to give a little history lesson. At the time, I did mention maybe there is a way to narrow this particular area, and I immediately had some additional conversations with Colonel Carroll about that approach, and he quickly educated me on why that probably is a very bad idea, and I think it would be good for you all to hear the colonel from the colonel directly on why that would be potentially problematic, and he can give a little history lesson on the area. Colonel, I'll take their silence as an open door for you to jump in.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. I was trying to figure out how to unmute. Good morning, Senator Mearmont, Representative McCrate, and committee members. My name is Jay Carroll, and I am the Chief of Marine Patrol. I've been asked to provide you with a historical overview regarding enforcement of the Frenchboro Cable area. In researching this issue, I reached out to both local fishermen and retired Marine Patrol personnel. As you know, the boundaries for this drag enclosure were created decades ago in an effort to address frequent power interruptions to the Frenchboro Island community. At that time, this area had a lucrative scallop resource, and the reward for individuals willing to drag inside the closure simply outweighed the risk of getting caught. Marine Patrol crews were getting called out night after night, and the sheer amount of complaints and illegal activity exhausted patrols' operational abilities and readiness at the local level. In order to avoid apprehension, some fishermen were allegedly paying lookouts to monitor both Marine Patrol and U.S. Coast Guard vessels and to radio ahead with an alert if enforcement vessels were to get underway. There are a number of specific incidents that occurred back then, which unfortunately helped to capture the magnitude of the enforcement dilemma. Retired Marine Patrol Major John Bennett was the boat captain on MBI during the 1980s. And he recalled on one occasion that the patrol vessel Guardian was actually rammed by a suspect vessel trying to flee the area. On two separate occasions, scallop boats suspected of dragging within the closure sank. Although the crew of the Northern Miner survived, the wreckage of her still rests on the ocean bottom off the southern shore of Frenchboro. The crew of the fishing vessel Risky Business were not so fortunate. In February of 1991, Risky Business went down and all three crew members perished. Both of these vessels were reportedly deck loaded with scallops and were swamped by rough seas while fishing in foul weather. Lastly, in an unprecedented decision, patrol ultimately seized the fishing vessel Flying Yankee after documenting multiple cable area violations against Captain Eugene Eaton. Seizing a vessel like this was an extraordinary measure and had never happened before and has not ever happened since. Cable area enforcement is most often conducted through surveillance from a position on the shore. The current configuration of this offshore drag enclosure was specifically designed so that violations are more easily identified. By utilizing distinct landmarks on both the northern and southern boundaries of the closure, enforcement is able to work together with industry and island residents to monitor the area and maintain compliance. During my 25-year career, Marine Patrol has documented a number of cable area violations around Mount Zert Island and in a variety of different cable areas, none of which, to my knowledge, were at Frenchboro. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Colonel Carroll. I have a question. Went away. Never mind. Committee, any questions for the Colonel? Representative Fockingham. You're muted.
I was trying to put my hand down, then you got to hit the mute, do all the things. So I'll put my hand down. Good morning, Colonel. I didn't catch, but what year was that incident that you're talking about, and what were the penalties back then for that violation?
So the biggest amount of problems that were seen out there were really in the mid 80s into the early 90s. Penalties, of course, now are much different because we have the administrative process where we can remove people very quickly off the water for serious violations. So the penalties, I'm sure at the time, I'm not sure, I was in high school in the 1980s. But I assume there probably were license suspension, things that were associated potentially with a conviction for dragging in a cable area. For as long as I've been with Marine Patrol, it's an automatic license suspension for dragging a cable area.
Thank you. And Representative Thorne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colonel Carroll, I'm a freshman legislator, so I'm still trying to weigh my decision of whether or not it's to benefit Marine Patrol or whether it's to benefit the fishermen of Maine. In a way, I'm sure it's to benefit both. But what I come up with is, obviously, there's a risk reward when you do anything, and there had to be a great reward that these fishermen that you explain were able to risk their lives to capture. So usually that signifies that there's a reason that they need that area to be modified. And my question to you is the area on both sides of the cable in line with what it is on other islands throughout Maine? Is the distance on either side of that cable line commensurate with what they are on other portions in Maine?
Thank you for the question, Representative. The Frenchboro cable area is unique. It's the only one of its kind. All other cable areas are just the charted cable area. This one has a specific configuration that was designed specifically to address those issues in the 80s and 90s, early 90s.
And we next have Representative McDonald.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us today, Officer Carroll. So I just wanted to raise a few points, one of which being that I was born in the 80s and I'm turning 40 soon. So this was a long time ago that we're speaking of. And we have a very different fishery now than we did then. The limits for what fishermen can catch, for what harvesters can have on board is very different. The nighttime activity is very different. It is illegal to scallop at night. It is illegal to deck load your boat. A lot of this sort of wild card outlaw activity does not take place anymore in any of our fisheries. Penalties have increased substantially over the years. Enforcement, I'm hoping, has increased. I do think that resource violations have decreased. Maybe that's due to penalties. So I would ask the committee to consider that the fisheries we have now are very different than the fisheries that we had in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And that includes the advancement of technology. At this point, the fishermen in this area feel that that cable area is too wide for the actual cable way. It's much larger than the actual charted cable area. And I do think that the behavior of the fishery has improved greatly since the late 80s and early 90s. Thank you.
And Representative Fockingham.
Thank you, Senator. Good representative from Stonington said a lot of what I was going to say, but I just wanted to echo that at the time when this was happening, this is now 35 years ago. So there must be a lot of scar tissue that, you know, we're still talking about cable that got dragged up that long ago. And I think it was such a frustration that they made the area so huge to make sure that nobody came anywhere near that cable. And at that time it was a derby fishery, which meant there was no limit to what you could get. So this was good scallop bottom, and a lot of nighttime dragging was happening, and they were sneaking in there and loading up on, and, you know, unlimited amount of scallops, whatever they could harvest. And now that we have daily limits and a lot better technology, times have really changed a lot. And as the colonel said, it's the only cable area of its kind that has such a wide berth.
And I'm going to let the commissioner in for a minute, then it'll be Representative Crafts, Hepler, and McDonald after that.
Yeah, thank you, Senator. I'll be very brief. I just want the committee to be thinking about this not as a cable area, but for an area where we need to have the ability to enforce it for illegal activity. I don't disagree at all with what Representative McDonald and Representative Fockingham have just expressed around how the fishery has changed. But illegal activity continues to occur. It happens all the time. Patrol is responding to complaints all the time associated with this fishery. And if we started to see a good level of biomass within this area, we may see those type of levels, activity levels for nighttime issues start to happen again. So that's really where it turned me. When I stopped thinking about it as a cable area, and I started thinking about it as an area where we need to have the ability to enforce the protection of the resource. So that's why I continue to support a not-to-pass approach with this particular bill.
Thank you. And Representative Crafts.
Thank you. Colonel Carroll, thank you for joining us today. I guess you referenced some violations that happened in the mid-80s and the early 90s, but could you speak to current violations? And in addition to that, what is the posed challenge with reducing the size? What are the logistics of what makes it so difficult to enforce a smaller cable area?
Thank you, Representative. I appreciate the question. Certainly what happened back then will never be replicated, right? That was a perfect storm of a vast amount of resource at a really competitive fishery. The scallop fleet, drag fleet was immense back then. When you, November 1st, when scallop season opened, you'd look off Bass Harbor and there'd be 70 to 80 boats dragging out there. That just does, that fleet doesn't exist anymore. What is important to recognize is that enforcement of cable areas is very difficult just by its nature. Like you typically, our officers would have to sit on the shoreline in a position to be able to verify that a boat snuck in that cable area. Frenchboro, what makes Frenchboro unique and the reason it was configured that way is because the power interruptions continue to occur in the winter at Frenchboro. And once they establish those boundaries with landmarks, that's what makes it unique. You know, or an industry member knows, or an island resident knows, if there's a dragger and it's below the sisters, it's in the closure. So if you tighten the boundaries of the Frenchboro cable area, essentially you might as well put it right back to where the charted cable area is, because there you'd have to sit there in order to enforce that area. The way it is right now, you don't have to do that. So it really does protect the island's power. So
thank you. And Representative Hepler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, this kind of gets to what Officer Carroll was alluding to, was the power reliability. And I thought when we had the public hearing, we were going to reach out to the power company to have them for the work session. And I wonder if that happened and where they might be, right? Because one of the concerns was that they might have to raise rates, and there was a reluctance to weigh in on that.
And that would probably be for our analyst. Lynn, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I did reach out to them, and it wasn't until this morning that I realized I had not heard back. I don't know if the email got lost or, but I failed to loop them back in this morning.
They must have thought you were calling saying that half the state had no power, so they didn't want to answer it. Thank you. Representative McDonald.
So I'll quickly just answer Representative Hepler's question if I can. Versant, that increase in price was only if we were going to ask for GIS mapping by Versant, which is not part of this bill. So I don't know where the committee will go on this, but I have a question for Commissioner Kelleher, wherever he went, if I may ask. And it was only that one thing that I noticed in the bill it's my bill, so I probably should have noticed this earlier, was that it directed the commissioner to get back within 90 days. And I am very open to it being a longer period of time. So I just wanted to raise that question and see if that would be helpful for, if we go that direction, if it would be helpful to add that amendment to the bill. Or if it didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I would look at this issue as I've expressed, as an enforcement issue around this particular area. So if the bill passed, I would go have conversations with Marine Patrol. I would document those conversations, and I probably would not take action if the bill passed the way it had, whether it was 90 days or longer.
And then as a follow-up, I'm disappointed that more scallop fishermen didn't attend the public hearing or the work session. Is there an opportunity to continue talking about this issue with the Scallop Advisory Council?
I'd certainly be happy, Representative, to bring this conversation up with them. I mean, it's come up with them on a couple of different occasions over the years. We could bring it up to say that there was a conversation around this. Report back to the committee next year about what that conversation was. So we don't lose the thread here.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. As this came to me from a member of the Scallop Advisory Council, I want them to know that we did discuss it and what came out of this conversation, regardless of which way the bill goes. I think that would be very helpful information to provide for them.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. And I would say the way the bill directs the commissioner to evaluate the size and boundaries, I mean, I think he has explained that there is an ongoing and pretty thorough evaluation of it, and it tends towards this perspective that's being presented. So we could deal with this bill, but with a letter to him to take care of the bill in this, and I'm not saying today, but I don't think we have 3 months either. We have deadlines for this session. It doesn't seem like we don't have enough information, so we need to carry it over. Well, we have to fit within the reporting out of our bills too, unless there's a carryover. So just keep all that in mind as we move forward. And next I have Representative McCrate and Representative Hutchins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. excuse me, a question for the sponsor. Well, maybe it's just for the commissioner. When does the Scallop Advisory Council meet? Is that anytime soon?
We did just have a check-in meeting with them during the season. And what we normally would do is after the season is complete, we usually have a conversation with them while everything is still fresh in everybody's mind, you know, shortly after the season ends. So we could address it at that time.
Okay.
They meet at roughly 3 to 5 times a year, depending on what's happening within the fishery. So there'll be plenty of opportunity.
Okay, thank you. And a question for the sponsor, if I may. Representative McDonald, were you suggesting that we could carryover is an idea. We could hang on to this while we get more information.
So carry it over till next. To carry it over. I mean, so essentially my thoughts on this are that this bill directs the commissioner to evaluate it. He has evaluated it. If we wanted to bring that to the Scallop Advisory Council, and if there was a real interest is still in pursuing that, then it could come back as another bill that directs DMR to evaluate, this is what the parameters should be, reduce it to the cable area. If there's an appetite for that at the Scallop Advisory Council, that's something one of us could consider submitting. But at this point, what we are asking of DMR is delivering us without the bill having to be passed. So letter, I think, is where we landed, or I landed. Does that sound good to everyone?
Yeah, that's good too. And if a SAC meeting is imminent, then we can probably within the, tough boundaries for our committee reporting on all our bills on time, delay this one going out until we have a chance to gather that info if there's any more input. But at the time we have to report it out because of deadlines, we'll have to do that. Meaning we'll have to come back and do something like that, vote for whatever with a letter or whatever. I'm just kind of keeping the guidelines for the reporting out in mind. So it doesn't have to be today. Representative Hutchins.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I remember this incident years ago. In fact, I remember the loss of the boat that we talked about, the one that sunk, plus the one that was confiscated, and he never got it back again, or at least not usable. This is an area that a lot of effort was put into making it so that it could be fished and yet the cable stay relatively safe. Seems to me they even allowed extra access for divers in the area to help with the fact that they could take more scallops and yet still keep the draggers off the line. So I think the commissioner probably has a pretty good handle on what really needs to be done here. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I don't have any other hands. Representative Fockingham.
Thank you, Senator. It seems like there isn't really a willingness from the commissioner to make this any smaller, but it's certainly the commissioner knows in the 129th I brought this issue to him and we talked about it then, and it gets a lot of industry conversation. Of course, you know how fishermen are, not too many of them came here with it, but I was actually conversating with some of them that day that were out there scalloping near that area. So I think the best way to engage that industry is for the commissioner to actually go to them and engage them, and that's what the Gallup Advisory Council is for. So I think this would be a good bill to hold on to until next session, probably, and write a letter. I guess the commissioner's right here, letter or not, but maybe a letter is more official, so that we can get some industry input, because clearly, especially the way this session is working, the input isn't happening. Obviously, the industry has something to say on this issue, but they just weren't aware there was a bill or whatever. So I think this is an issue that should get talked about more. And I'd like to see us hold on to it. That would be my opinion.
Thank you, Representative McDonald.
I would be agreeable to that. My question then goes back to when the SAC meets again, because it may be this session. So looking at the timeline there, I'm certainly agreeable holding it over till next session. It's better if we don't have to hold it that long. I know the SAC is required to meet 4 times a year, so they may have another upcoming meeting before we adjourn. So I'm going to kick that question about timing over to the commissioner.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll just point out that I would take a tabling motion while we just look at some of that, unless the commissioner says they're not going to meet before our deadlines might come up. But a tabling motion, with what I've heard, would allow us a little time without, I'm not hearing a big need to carry this over necessarily, but you know, it's a pleasure of the committee too. So go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, I'd ask Deidre if she's still on. She supervises the staff that oversees or coordinates with the Gallup Advisory Council. Deidre, has there been any conversations with staff about a year-end meeting?
Yes. So Melissa Smith staffs that council, and she recently had a conversation, like you said, that at the end of the scallop season, so shortly after the end of the season, that she would convene a meeting. That would still probably be sometime in April, I would suspect.
Okay. This being the first year where we go later, I don't have the deadlines in front of me, but Lynn May, when do we have to have 100% reported out, Lynn, if you have that?
I do have that. You're supposed to have 100% voted out on May 21st.
Oh, yeah. So
Voted May 7th. Voted May 7th.
Okay.
Reported out May 21st.
I think we can commit to an SAC meeting probably right around the end of April then, and bring it and keep the committee informed and come back to the committee with the results of that conversation.
Great. I'll take a motion anytime. Representative Fockingham's next, and then Representative McDonald.
That's great to hear, and I just wanted to make it known that for me, it wasn't important to carry it over to next session. I just wanted to hang on to it long enough for the industry to weigh in. So that plan actually sounds perfect to me.
That's a tabling motion, I hear.
I was going to make that motion, but I'm certainly happy to second if Representative Fockingham would like to.
Table it.
I'll second Representative Fockingham's motion to table.
Okay, we have a motion to table and a second. Linda, you have the people who gave them. And if you don't speak up, you're good.
I have them, yes.
Okay.
So start with you, Senator Miramont.
Yes.
Representative McCrae.
You're muted.
Yes. Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Yes.
Representative Alley.
Yes.
Representative Fockingham.
Yes.
Representative Bloom.
Yes.
Representative Hepler.
Yes.
Representative McDonald.
Yes.
Representative Crafts.
Yes.
Representative Hutchins.
Yes.
Representative Stanley.
Yes.
And Representative Thorne.
Yes.
So that is 12 in favor, 1 absent.
Okay, the motion to table carries, and we'll keep this going. It's always great that the commissioner or Deirdre are here every week anyway. We'll know what's going on.